Views, information, or opinions contained in podcasts do not necessarily represent the opinions, standards, or policies of DRWF. The inclusion of details about products or services does not indicate DRWF endorsement of them. The aim of podcasts is to educate and inform, and we endeavour to ensure that the information provided in them is accurate. It's not a substitute for medical or health advice from a healthcare professional who's aware of the facts and circumstances of your individual situation. We always recommend that advice be sought from your GP or diabetes nurse before making any changes to medication or before using any products or services referenced by DRWF. Neither DRWF nor any of its employees or owners shall be held liable or responsible for the accuracy or completeness, for any errors or omissions in podcasts, or for any damage you may suffer as a result of failing to seek competent medical or health advice from a professional who is familiar with your situation.
Hello and welcome to the latest podcast in our series, Living with Diabetes, brought to you by Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. I'm Claire Levy, and in this edition we complete our two-part look at Dexcom's latest research project into the state of type 2. These succinct summaries have looked at the statistical analysis of the growth of diabetes and the impact of continuous glucose monitors, CGMs. In this podcast, we look at what this means for future health policy and the greater availability of CGMs in managing type 2 diabetes. To discover more, I've been talking to Adrian Goot, Dexcom's Senior Director for International Access, who's been closely involved with this report. Dexcom's latest State of Type 2 report reveals that there are 61 million people with diabetes in Europe and 73 million in the Middle East and North Africa, with 90% of those living with type 2. They estimate rapid growth by the end of this year, with 69 million people living with diabetes in Europe and 136 million in the Middle East and North Africa. The growth of type 2 in the UK is also a growing concern. The latest figures indicate 4.3 million people live with all types of diabetes, with an additional 2.4 million at risk of developing type 2. The research also looked at the impact of living with type 2. Nearly two-thirds felt challenged by the need to manage their diabetes day to day. Around a quarter avoided eating out, and almost a third admitted they didn't know which foods impacted their glucose levels. However, 4 out of 5 respondents with type 2 said they'd be receptive to having a CGM to help them manage their diabetes more effectively. Nearly two-thirds said that poor management resulted in the development of one or more physical health conditions. Other questions revealed a high level of anxiety impacting various aspects of mental health. Interestingly, 3/4 of healthcare professionals surveyed who face challenges when caring for people with type 2 diabetes, agree that a CGM would help resolve these issues, and nearly all think CGM will become standard practice for caring for people with type 2 diabetes. So, how are the report's findings being used by Dexcom? A point I put to Adrian Goot, their Senior Director for International Access.
I mean, just to do a report is nice, and to have data is wonderful. But the intention, of course, is that we want to use it for a call to action and to influence decision makers. We were extremely fortunate and very happy to have IDF Europe on board with us. They helped us edit the report and endorsed it with the chairman actually signing the foreword. And so this shows you a call to action is basically a cross-functional approach. Everybody in the diabetes community, that includes healthcare companies like us, but it also includes patient organizations, it includes the healthcare professionals. Jointly, we have to be one choir, talking to the decision makers, talking to politicians, health ministers, each country is different, the decision makers are different, but making them understand A, the burden of disease, and B, the fact that there are solutions available. Technology can be part of the solution. Technology is actually cost effective. So this is another type of research that is very well established and well published. So CGM is cost effective. And so having this joint choir, including IDF Europe, including us as industry partner, we go jointly to decision makers with this value story, making sure they understand the burden of diabetes and how technology can be a large part of the solution to fix the problem.
And then how does that equitable access, how does that affect people living with type 2 diabetes if they can, you know, have access to this technology? What sort of changes? I know you've mentioned some, but it's fairly wide ranging, isn't it? You know, you've talked about family and you've talked about better health. It's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. The most important thing is, in the short run, you want to stay out of the emergency room, right? You don't want to have a diabetes ketoacidosis and an ambulance pick you up and take you to the hospital. These incidences are significantly reduced by CGM. And in the long run, this is, again, for the person with diabetes, but also you were asking more generally about the healthcare system, avoiding costly long-term complications. So CGM and other technologies play a very important role in avoiding these long-term complications. So reducing the incidence of cardiometabolic disease, which diabetes, as you know, is one of the key risk factors. Avoiding these, CGM plays an important role and has been proven to play, so it's an evidence-based value story, proven to play an important role to reduce the costly cardiovascular and other long-term effects of diabetes.
And it's all about information, isn't it? You know, information is king. And the more people
absolutely
can know, yes, and understand and do something about it, I think people feel really, you know, given power, it makes such a difference to their lives.
Yes, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. Information is absolutely key. And this is one thing the report, if you read through it in detail, you'll see that's a big problem, that a lot of people actually know quite little about diabetes. And even when they get their first diagnosis, they know quite little. Many of them voice, let's be honest, a bit of a frustration that they wish they had more information about diabetes. They would more quickly learn more about diabetes and what to do and how to live with it. So information, you are absolutely right, is really, really key. And, you know, the one problem specifically with type 2 diabetes is it's not something that, like, right away, you know, you have it and then you're afraid in the next 6 months, you know, you may have a serious crisis or even die. So there are a lot of misconceptions. Well, you know, I have a little bit of diabetes, or somebody who is diagnosed with pre-diabetes, yeah, they may think, oh, you know, it's the mild form. These are things we hear. And that's just the nature of type 2 diabetes, that it's not something that, you know, hits you on the head right away. And so that sense of urgency is often lacking. Again, you said it, because of the lack of information. And that sense of urgency also is lacking then in the decision makers. They sometimes think, well, you know, let's just fix the more urgent problems like type 2 diabetes. And by not doing that, basically the longer term complications are still growing, and we don't take care of them.
Yeah, and you don't want to frighten people in those initial stages when they're first diagnosed. Hey,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. It's really.
Yes, you have to find a good mix, and of course that's where, you know, healthcare professionals, especially diabetes educators, are specially trained for that. You have to find the right mix to give a person the information that is relevant for them to help them, maybe change their behavior, adhere to the therapies that are recommended. But yeah, scaremongering is not the right approach, and depending on the person, may be counterproductive.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, the DRWF podcast. Our thanks to Adrian Goot, Dexcom's Senior Director for International Access, for sharing the details of their State of Type 2 report. I hope you found this helpful and of interest. There's also lots of other guidance, helpful information and details on how to support the charity, together with the latest fundraising events, news and information on our website at drwf.org.uk. This is Claire Levy from Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Our thanks again to Adrian for talking to us, and also to you for listening to this latest edition of Living with Diabetes.
Living with Diabetes is a Blue Aurora media production for DRWF. Copyright 2025. Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. All rights reserved.